God, I pray that these words that come out of my mouth as I talk about hope, something we need so deeply in this world, something you so freely offer us, I pray that these words might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that somehow you would speak through me, that you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear, that you'd open our minds to understanding, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. God, that we would move from seeing the world as hopeless to being agents of hope in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you haven't been here recently, we're in a series right now. We do series here for a few weeks. This happens to be a five-week series where we dive more deeply into a topic, where we think about it more. And this one is called Summer on Broadway. And in this series, what we're doing is we're looking at Broadway shows, which many of them happen to be movies too, but we're looking at Broadway shows, and we're looking at those intersections of where our faith intersects with those shows. So you may watch a show, kids, you may watch a TV show, or you may even play a video game, or you might have a conversation with somebody, and you go, oh, wow, I can see how that's like how God loves us, or I can see how that's how I'm supposed to treat other people. And that's what we're trying to do in this series. We're trying to look for the lessons that intersect with our faith, that intersect with the Bible, and that's what we're doing. So today we're going to look at the musical Annie. Now, I saw this show years and years ago at Wolf Trap. If y'all, Wolf Trap is a great venue to see shows, by the way, and it's close. That's the beauty of it. But I saw it at Wolf Trap and absolutely loved it. I've seen the movie multiple times as well. And the beautiful thing that comes out of this show, and you're going to think this is odd, if you think about it, these are kids that live in an orphanage, but it's hope. And it's how they hold on to hope. Now, I'm going to talk about the show in just a minute, but I want to talk about this concept of hope. Hope is a really powerful thing. It is said that humans seek after hope like moths seek after light. Hope is intrinsic to who we are. Hope is what we long for. Hope is what we want. And I have a sense that we're often finding ourselves hopeless. We're looking at the world and we're going, man, it's bad. Like, I've been away the last 4 days. I was at a conference and I came home and I saw my grass. Oh, it was green when I left. And my wife watered it. God bless her. It seems like a futile effort at this point, right? I mean, it was brown. And I thought, all this work we've done on the yard and now it's gone. And somebody came in this morning, they said, it'll come back. It always does. Right? That's actually holding on to hope. It's got to come back. Hope is something that we need. Neuroscientists, which is a doctor that studies the brain, Tally Sherrill, argues hope is so essential to our survival that it's hardwired into our brains. We need hope, and hope leads to different outcomes. Students who have hope have higher GPAs. Do you know that? If you have hope, you do better in school. You're more likely to graduate. Athletes who have hope perform better. Teams that go into a game saying there's no way we're going to win do terrible. Teams that go in with hope perform better. They cope with injuries better. It is clear. Friends, hope is a powerful catalytic in our lives. And we can be people that offer people hope, or we can be people that offer people despair. Do you know that? You can go into somebody's scenario and you can say, I'm a person that's going to offer you hope, or I can sit and wallow with you in whatever it is. Or I'm going to come and you're going to say, hey, isn't it great that the grass is coming back in the fall? And you're going to say, nah, it's brown now. Or you can say, that's the beauty of the cycle of the seasons in Virginia. The grass will come back. It won't be hot forever and ever. So hope is important because it's this catalyst for health. It's this catalyst for life. I want to talk a bit about this show, Annie, remind us. It's 1933, set in 1933 in New York City. Annie's an 11-year-old kid who sleeps in an orphanage with many other girls her age. And the way that it sort of kicks off is there's this young girl, about 6 years old, named Molly. And she wakes up having a bad dream. And Annie chooses in that moment to sing her a song about her parents. Now, that's ironic because Annie doesn't know her parents. She doesn't know if they'll ever come back. But she holds out hope that they will. Hope is this powerful thing that she offers Molly in this moment. You know, even though she was abandoned by her parents as a baby, in this orphanage, she holds on to hope. So I want to invite Caitlin to come up. She's going to sing the song Maybe that comes from the show in this moment. Love the hope in that song. Maybe. And you know, maybe is one of those words that after it can follow darkness or can follow hope. Maybe something really good's going to happen today. Maybe today's the day in this story where her parents come back and say, "We're here." Maybe. I mean, it's powerful, powerful, powerful. What Annie holds on to and then how she shares that with the rest of the folks. So what happens next in the show? She decides to escape to find her parents, but she's caught by Miss Hannigan. And she's less than happy about what she does. So to punish her behavior, she forces all the girls to clean, and they lament the terrible conditions of the orphanage. This is where the song "It's a Hard Knot Life" comes in, which was just sung. Later on, Bundles, the laundryman, comes in to pick up the laundry, and he sneaks her out, escaping in his truck. And Miss Hannigan finds out, and she's running after it. The other orphans are cheering her on. Do you hear the hope? The other orphans are saying, "Go, Annie!" Like, even though they're not getting out, she's getting out. And they give her all of this hope, but then, of course, Miss Hannigan's going to punish them because they're excited. Annie escapes. She runs into this friendly dog. You may remember the dog Sandy from the story. And this policeman comes up thinking that it's a stray dog, and Annie convinced him that Sandy's her dog and that they're just out on a stroll. Even she gives the dog hope. And then she goes on and she gets into this community with a bunch of folks who have been unhoused by the Great Depression. They're toasting the former president that we'd like to thank you, Herbert Hoover. It's a shanty town that's broken up by the cops, and they take Annie back to the orphanage where Miss Hannigan punishes her again with extra chores. And yet, she still holds on to what? Hope. Even in that moment, eventually she's helped to escape. She ends up with this man whose last name is Warbucks. He thought he was getting a boy orphan, and he gets a girl. And he has no clue how much that girl's going to change his life. He has no clue how much her hope and her spirit is going to transform his life. And he tells his assistant, Grace, just take her to a movie. I don't know what to do with her. And he finds out in that moment that she had never seen New York City. And he takes her on this beautiful trip of New York City to offer her hope. Do you see the reciprocal nature of this? Back and forth, and they end up bringing each other incredible life. Things go well. I won't spoil it for you if you haven't seen it for a really long time, but it works out really well for them, and hope just abounds. So what in the world does this have to do with our faith? Yesterday, I was with a bunch of United Methodist pastors and lay people who were part of the church, 2,000 of them, and there were a bunch of people who were getting ordained to be pastors in the church. And a good friend of mine who's a bishop in the United Methodist Church got up and gave a message. And he said, friends, hold on to hope. Now, he didn't know I was preaching this. I'm sure I helped him, right? The bishop. But he said, hold on to hope. He said, pastors, if you can't bring hope into the church, then stop doing this. Don't do this work. The work is too hard if you can't bring hope, because what the world needs right now is hope, and what Jesus Christ offers is hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is hope. It says that that's not the end of the story. Friends, hope is what our Christian faith is all about. It is what we should be bringing the world. Too often, what we bring the world is judgment, and what Jesus tells us to bring the world is hope. We have got to get out of the judgment business. And we have got to get into the hope business. Jesus said it so often. If you watch how he interacts with people in the Gospels, if you watch what he does when he comes to someone, as he tells people that have been pushed off, that have been shoved down, that have been hurt, that have been placed in these places, there's hope. This is not the end of your story. I want to go back to the Old Testament, sometimes referred to as the Hebrew Bible, back to the middle of the Bible, the Psalms. And I said a few weeks ago, the Psalms were written by people who were trying to really express their emotion, trying to express their feelings about God and with God. And this one is really, really raw today. This comes from Psalm chapter 42. And it says this, just like a deer that craves streams of water, my whole being craves you, God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see God's face? My tears have been my food both day and night, as people constantly questioned me, where's your God now? But I remember these things as I bare my soul, how I made my way to the mighty one's abode, to God's own house. With joyous shouts and thanksgiving songs, a huge crowd celebrating the festival. Why, I ask myself, are you so depressed? Why are you so upset inside? Hope in God, because I will again give him thanks, my saving presence and my God. My whole being's depressed. That's why I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep called to deep, at the noise of your waterfalls, all your massive waves surged over me. By day, the Lord commands his faithful love. By night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my solid rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I have to walk around sad and oppressed by enemies? with my bones crushed, my foes made fun of me, constantly questioning me, where's your God now? Why, I ask myself, are you so depressed? Why are you so upset inside? Hope in God, because I will again give him thanks, my saving presence, and my God. Friends, if you read this, if you sense what's going on here, this person is going through something hard. Something that is painful. I love the raw feelings and emotions. It's like a good story, except this one's real. These real feelings that this writer has, this real pain. And many of us go through hard things. Kids, for some of you, it's a hard day at school or a hard day at home. For some of you, it's a friendship and the challenge of that. For us older people, sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's something in our neighborhood. Sometimes it's health related. There are lots of really hard things that we go through. And here's the interesting thing. What I love about the Psalms is they don't pretend like that doesn't exist. They don't suggest that we should be immune to hardship. It's a real thing and a real thing that happens. And the Psalm names it with real words. Again, my tears have been my food both day and night as people constantly question me, where's your God now? The psalmist writes about pain, writes about struggle, writes about depression, writes about hardship. You hear the pain in this? Except there's this common refrain. Do you know what it is? Hope. But I hope in my God. Verse 5 and verse 11. Hope in God. I think it's the psalmist's way of saying to make it through the challenges of life, to make it through the regular everyday moments of life, to make it through life, the one constant thing we have to hold on to is hope. We have to hold on to hope, and we've got to share hope with the world, and we've got to get out there. And it's not just this simple little cheeky thing to throw out. It's not just a nice word, just hope. It is intrinsic to who we are as human beings. Hold on to hope. Share hope with the world. So how do we get there? How do we do it? Here's the first thing. Surround yourself with people of hope. And I'm not just saying church people, because there's a lot of church people that don't have hope. I'm saying find people in your life who come in and bring hope. Find people in your life who tell you, hey, tomorrow's coming. Who remind you that as you walk through life, it is absolutely okay to feel what you feel. It is absolutely okay to struggle. It is absolutely okay to have that hardship. And remember, that's not the end of the story. It is very, very easy to place ourselves with a group of people who take us down a spiral, who place us in a hopeless reality. And by all means, when I say surround yourself with hope, please do not watch the news. Seriously. I like country music. I listen to 98.7 on the radio. There is every morning a story of hope, and that is my favorite aspect of the whole morning show. Find the story of hope. Surround yourself with people of hope. Here's the second thing. Wake up every day claiming hope. Right? It is clear to me that the psalmist is struggling in this moment. It is clear that the pain is real. It is clear that real things are going on. But this person chooses hope. They wake up and they choose hope. What would tomorrow look like if you woke up and you said, today I choose hope? In the matter of whatever your reality is, today I choose hope. Friends, hope is also a choice. It is something we can hold on to. It is something we can take. It is something that the scripture in the psalm claims. It is something that the resurrection of Jesus Christ claims in our lives. Hope. Have hope. Hold on to hope. I know a woman from Ukraine who's here with her son right now. And it's really a really difficult story because her husband is still serving in the war in Ukraine. And I run into her sometimes when we're out on the path, the great paths here in Ashburn. And I say, how are you doing? And she said, you know, it's really hard, but I wake up every day offering hope to my son. I'm trying to live a life of hope. And she said, I'm really hopeful for the folks that are letting me stay with them here, and I'm really hopeful for my boy, and I'm so, so grateful. And man, if she can hold hope, can't we hold hope? Can't we hold hope in whatever our reality is? And here's the last thing. Lean into your faith. Lean into it deeply. Attend to it. Pay attention to it. Kids, that might look like coming to camp. It might look like coming to Kid Venture on Sunday mornings. It might look like for you going to these one-day camps. Whatever it is, kids, lean into your faith. Talk to your parents about it. It might look like reading our daily scripture that comes out. It might look like getting into a small group. It might look like so many different things. Praying, meditating, whatever it is, lean into it. Because the psalmist says it's that that brings us hope. Leaning into our faith. Friends, if we just call ourselves Christians, so what? If we just go to church, so what? And I'm not saying that like in a pejorative way. If we just do the motions, so what? Lean into it. One of the most quintessential songs from the entire show, Annie, is Tomorrow. And I love this song. I love this song because the very essence of it, I'm going to invite Jillian to come on up. The very essence of this song is hope. Do you notice that? It's suggesting that the sun will what? Come out tomorrow. Right now, it's not hard to believe right now because it's very sunny, right? But there are days when you might wake up and say, I don't know if the sun's going to come out tomorrow. There are days when whatever your scenario is that you wake up and say, life is really, really hard and I don't know if I can hold hope. This little girl who lives in an orphanage and has her entire life under really difficult conditions has hope. And if she can hold hope, I pray that we can too. Listen to the words and claim your own hope that you're going to carry out into the world.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck in a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow.